trials and temptations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Hola. Heavenly Father, we just all want to just lift Ola to you now.
Yes, Lord.
And we just say, Lord, lead him, guide him, and just help him as he shares your word with us this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Karen. Good morning, everyone. Thank God for another opportunity to bring his word to us. And I title the title of this message is Counted All Joy. A lot of times as Christians, we go through different challenges. But the scripture in James chapter 1, it says, consider it a great joy. Not just joy, great joy. Now, if we think of it in the context of the trials and the temptations that we face, how many of us honestly, when we're going through it, can say, oh, I'm very joyful. Lord, thank you for sending this trial my way. This is what I've been waiting for. This is the moment. How many of us can honestly say that? But do you know the reason why that scripture, why the Lord has put it there? Because we can't do it in our own strength. John 15 says, without me, you can do nothing. When we see scriptures like that, rather than you think this is impossible, it's a call to absolute dependence on the Lord. It says, count it great joy whenever you experience various trials, not just one, not two, various trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Another translation to say says patience. But patience or endurance must do its complete work. Now imagine you baking cake. And it needs to be in the oven for 45 minutes. Now if you take it out after 30 minutes, what happens? It's raw. So sometimes God takes us through a phase or a season that we just need to allow the Lord to do his complete work. And one prayer, if you pray it, is, you know, you say, Lord, I want to be patient. Guess what happens after that? He brings people around you and situations that will test that prayer. It will come as an answer to prayer, but it depends on how you perceive it. So it will bring around you the most impatient people ever. And you'll be wondering, what's going on here? But guess what? That's an answer to your prayer. Lord, I want to be joyful. Situations will present itself to you that you think, oh, what in the world is this? Well, the scripture commands us in everything give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The beauty of it is this. It says the righteous falleth seven times and then he rises again. So there might have been lost opportunities in the past weeks and months, but God is the God of again and again. So if you miss that opportunity to be joyful, another opportunity will present itself for you to be joyful. But remember that the key to this is trusting the Lord implicitly. As I was pondering on this test and trials, I thought, well, what is the meaning of a test? What's the meaning of a trial? So what is a test? According to the dictionary, it says a procedure intended to establish the quality, the performance, or the reliability of something, especially before it is taken into widespread use. So think of the example of a particular drug or medication. You have clinical trials before it's actually rolled out to the public so that many people are not killed. Now, during the trial period, they want to establish what will be the side effects. And for different people, for someone, the medication, they might only need 5 milligrams. Someone else might need 10. Someone else might need 15. Or others might need 25. And it's the same with the Lord. When we are faced with challenges or tests or trials, He will never put upon us more than we're able to bear. The joy of it is you don't know how far you can go. But God will never put something upon you that you're not able to bear. But one of the biggest lies of the enemy is to make you believe that this trial is here to kill you, will crush you. It will destroy you. Now you have an option. Do you choose to believe the enemy, or do you choose to believe the word of the Lord? And each day we've always got that choice to make. Do I believe what God's word says, or do I believe what my situation is saying? What is your attitude when you're faced with a test or trial? Are you positively or negatively predisposed to them? Now, I asked the question earlier on, and I'm going to ask the same question again. Does anyone rejoice when they're faced with tests or trials? So you wake up in the morning, you get into your car, you try starting the car won't start. Yeah, praise God. Or that important phone call, and the battery just dies out on you. So, you know, what will be your initial reaction? Will it be the F word? Will it be the S word? You know, all of the above. But the reality of it is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it doesn't matter where you are now, because God is a progressive God. Every one of us, including myself, we're all work in progress. The day you stop learning is the day you start to die. The moment you open the Bible and think, oh, I've read the whole Bible, what else can God say to me that I don't already know? And the joy of it, there's the good side to dying or to death, because Paul the Apostle says, I die daily. Now, when a person dies and they're laid in state, if a fly comes to perch on them, they don't have the time to. Now, there are certain situations, if you're truly dead to self, it doesn't move you. People say things to you, things that you don't really want to hear. Well, guess what? When you're dead, it doesn't make a difference. When we start off, you'd be like, no, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Why should they say that to me? But guess what? When God has put you on a test, every time you take a decision in the flesh to respond, the whole situation just gets escalated. And guess what? The other party who's in the wrong, they don't have a problem. They're okay with it. The focus is now on you. Why? Because you're the one who is sitting the test. Tim is trying to work that one out. tests and trials come unannounced. There's no set date. Oh, on so-so-so date, this is what would happen. But then the question is, how do I prepare for a trial? How do I prepare for a test? The first thing is, do you believe that God's word is the absolute authority, is infallible? So if Richard Branson walked into this church, we know him, we know he's a wealthy businessman, and he makes a pledge to this church saying, oh, I understand you have a building project that you're about to embark upon. I'll be writing you a check for £2 million. We'll all be praising God even before we receive the check. Why? Because we know that he has the ability and the financial capability to meet that obligation that he's just, that commitment that he's just made. Is that the same way you treat God's word? So you're faced with a hell challenge, and the word of God comes to you and says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. That doesn't take away that challenge straight away. But whilst you are in that recovery mode or trusting him for that healing to take place, what's your response? The second thing is, how much time do you give to the study of God's word? But more importantly, meditating on the word of God. I was sharing with Metin earlier on this morning that we all meditate every day, consciously, unconsciously. We meditate on problems, challenges. Or what if this doesn't happen? How's that bill going to be paid? Would I keep that job? Would that relationship work out well? We all meditate daily, whether we know it or not. But in the book of Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, it says that we should meditate on the word day and night. We meditate on challenges. How is this situation going to pan out? That unruly child, what will become of him? What will become of her? That boss, what will happen? You know, this situation at work, how's it going to be resolved? We all meditate. The third thing is, how much priority or importance do we give to God's word? Now, unless you're fasting, the average person will have 2 meals a day. 3, perhaps 4 or 5, with the snacks in between. 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day. Yeah. I wasn't looking at you though, but. How much time do you, what priority and importance do you attach to God's word? Job 23 verse 12 says, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. How much attention do you give to, how much importance do you give to God's word? Food for thought. Then the fourth thing when you're in the midst of a trial or test is prayer. Jude chapter 1 verse 20 says, Beloved, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, or praying in other tongues. Prayer is key. You're speaking to your Father. Just like the testimony that our dear sister shared with our college mate. She's prayed, but are you praying the right prayer? But just before she got off speaking with her, the answer came. Every test comes to reveal to you how weak or strong your faith is. Because God knows you inside out. God just wants to reveal to you over the years what you've laid up and how well you've built your faith. There's no right or wrong in a test or trial. But the reality of it is, if you fail the first time, God is the God of again and again. And when you're faced with a trial, and God has brought you through or brought you over that trial, what did you learn? And what would you do differently? I looked to establish a few types of tests that a Christian will face in their lifetime. You've got the test of fiery trials, intense encounters, bursts of anger. You've got the trial of infirmity, so physical limitations or illnesses. And there's an amazing woman of God by the name Fanny Crosby, an American poet, writer, just an amazing woman. She was born in 1820. And Fanny Crosby, when she was about 2 months old, she had an eye infection. And the family doctor was away, so they found another doctor. Unfortunately, it turned out to be a quack doctor. He asked that they apply a particular medication on her eyes, and she lost her sight. But guess what? Out of that affliction, this woman wrote, in her lifetime, she wrote about 9,000 hymns. Popular ones, like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Now, when we sing those hymns, there's an anointing. Now, that anointing is a product of the test and the trial that the person went through. And that's what we enjoy today when we sing those songs. She pencils songs like, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." Now, just for a moment, if you could just close your eyes. As we close our eyes, I'm bringing you into Fanny Crosby's world. Just letting you appreciate what she had to go through. But in the midst of those trials, she was able to write hymns that we still sing till today. Please open your eyes. What was that like? Dark. What was it like? She spent 94 years in that state, day in, day out. She wrote some hymns like, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry." Just think of it. Someone who had, if she needed to go somewhere, she either needed someone to assist her. After a while, if she became familiar with that particular environment, she could get around. But she went through that, and she was able to write those songs. I don't know what you're going through now. Could it be as bad as not having your sight? Losing one eye is bad enough, but both. She could have allowed the enemy to say to her, "You're no good, if only you could see. It's not going to work. It's over for you." At the age of 23, she wrote poems for the American president. She met a lot of American presidents in her lifetime. She did amazing things in the midst of her trial. So it's the analogy of a glass of water, half empty or half full. It's your perspective. You can see it as half empty or see it as half full. So we all have choices when we're faced with a trial. Then we also have the trial of necessities. what to eat, what to wear, and all of that. Another great man, George Muller, he ran an orphanage called Ashley Down in Bristol. This man looked after, in his lifetime, 10,024 orphans. And there was something that characterized his life: prayer. He believed that God can do everything. It was said of him, he never asked anyone for money, but rather prayed to God for provision. There's a famous story. He gathered the orphans together in the morning, and they were at breakfast, at the breakfast table. No food. And he said, this morning we're going to thank our Heavenly Father. And as they began to give thanks to the Lord, he had a knock on the door. A baker turned up. He said, I first strongly impressed in my heart in the middle of the night that you might be needing some bread. And I got up at 2 a.m. to start baking. Whilst they received that, as another knock on the door, it was the milkman. His wagon had broken down just right in front of the orphanage. And for him to fix it, he had loads and loads of pints of milk in it. So he needed to offload it. And he asked if they wouldn't mind to have the milk. Has God changed? There's so many things today that we try and work it out. We think, I know what to do. I know how to fix it. And we don't take it to the Father. It talks about the sparrows. They neither toil nor spin, but the Father takes care of them. Why worry about situations that you can't fix? This morning, I believe that each one of us, we have one test or trial that we're faced with. But the Lord wants you to understand that He will never leave you nor forsake you. And don't allow the enemy to have the last laugh. In that trial, whatever the Lord is saying to you, no matter how difficult it may be in the natural, ask Him for the grace to do it. Now imagine if Fanny Crosby never rose up to that challenge to seek the Lord. Imagine if George Muller, imagine how many orphans would have missed the opportunity of knowing the love of a Heavenly Father. I don't know what life has thrown at you, or what life is currently throwing at you, but there's that opportunity for you to turn it around. If someone blind can take time out to pencil the love of the Father, why would you not be grateful to God for what He's done for you? The reason why I sing, the reason why I dance, is because I've seen the mercy of God. I've had close encounters with death, but God in His mercy and loving kindness has preserved my life. And that's the only thing I can bring to the Lord, just to say thank you. Because even if I had 1,000 tongues, it's not enough to show for the praise of the Father. Have you been faced with distresses? Disappointment hurts. This one becomes more difficult if it's with a family member, a close friend, a close associate. But guess what? Even Jesus' disciples, they betrayed Him. In His hour of need, they left Him. No matter what you're going through, this morning I believe that the Father wants you to understand that He loves you with an everlasting love. And His thoughts for you are thoughts of good and not of evil. And when you're dealing with a trial, don't assume you know how to solve the problem. Seek God pray to God. A typical example is a man, David. David was an amazing warrior. But there was one thing that characterized his life. Every time he was faced with a situation, he would go to the Lord. The scripture says David would inquire of the Lord. All he needed to do was, well, I've fought this war before, I'd use the same approach. No. Every battle is always different. It might look similar, but there's a different approach. My wife saw a young man on the bus yesterday who had a severe disability, and he was making so much noise and was drooling. And you think of it, you might have one challenge or the other, the family members, but imagine what that parent goes through. Constantly, once that child is up, shouting and screaming. But guess what? In the midst of that challenge, if that parent will rise up and pray, there's something that God can do. It might be, for all you know, God wants to use that parent to be an encouragement to someone else. Or God wants to manifest his healing power. There was a lady that was, when she was born, she was mangled up. And her mother prayed consistently for 15 years. And the day the Lord answered her prayer, it was like a dream. She heard the piano play. Lo and behold, the child that was mangled, that couldn't get up, couldn't move around, was sat by the piano table, by the piano, playing away. Let's not reduce God because we live in a microwave generation, has to be instant. Yes, some miracles are instantaneous. You pray, it's done. Sometimes you just have to wait. And waiting is something we don't love to do. It has to be now. Why would God have us wait? Because you don't know what he's doing in the background. Whilst you're waiting for that prayer to be answered, God might be working on the person's character. There might be something that is God is putting together. Say, for instance, a work situation. Whilst you're waiting, God knows that there's going to be a restructuring. That if you get into that team now, it won't work in your favor. Because there'll be redundancies down the line. So he's keeping you because he's doing something in the background. Because you can't see it, you're getting upset. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." The enemy seeks to steal your joy. He doesn't want you to praise God. He wants every time you look at that situation to say God is unfaithful. But God is not a man that he should lie. I read the story of a young lady who was one of the survivors of one of the most horrific airplane accidents in Nigeria. There are 109 people on board, and only two survived. Severe burns from top to bottom. But God saved her soul. She went on and did her first degree, the university in the United States, came out with her first class, got her master's. When you look at her, she's no longer the young girl she used to be, totally defaced, several surgeries and all that. But God kept her alive. That's why it's important that you count your blessing and you name them one by one. Never allow yourself to become closed because something happened at some stage or you're going through a situation and you become closed. The word of God no longer moves you. You're no longer sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Don't allow the hurts of yesterday to keep you from obtaining your promise today. In the midst of your challenge, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, "In everything, give thanks to the Lord." It's never convenient. Or you might just want to start with, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. This is really painful, Lord, but I thank you. Lord, I'm feeling the pinch of this, but I thank you. Lord, my emotions are running high, but Lord, I thank you. Lord, I'm really unhappy about this situation, but I thank you. I thank you because your word commands me to give you thanks. And as I thank you, I expect you to show up in my situation. The other thing is to be joyful. Now, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is a product of happenings around you. You buy a car, you buy a new bag, you buy a new shoe, you're going away on holiday. But joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's an attitude or a posture that you assume in the midst of a challenge or trial. When Paul the Apostle penned the scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he was in the whole of the earth, surrounded by sewer. And he wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And lastly, don't magnify that situation. Because 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way of escape, a way out so that you can endure it. There is a way out of that challenge this morning. And I want us to seek the Lord, believing God that God is able to make a way. Remember that in the midst of your trials, one thing you might ask is, why do I have to go through all of this? It helps to produce humility and absolute dependence on God. And there's also an eternal reward when you go through a test and the Lord grants you the grace to pass that test. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres on the trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised those who love him. This morning, I want to call us to a fresh rededication of our hearts to the Lord. That trial has come. It was meant, the enemy thought it would destroy you. But be rest assured that God is with you in that trial. All that this has done is to show you what you've built up over the years. How much do you trust the Lord? Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. This morning, I'd like us to rise on our feet and just pray a prayer of rededication. Our dear sister, in the hour of prayer this morning, shared an amazing testimony as she was praying and asking the Lord and saying to the Lord, Lord, this situation I'm faced with, what is really going on? And guess what the Lord came back with? You just need to change your attitude. Sometimes it's as simple as that. All that you've been through or you're going through might just be for you to change your attitude. Don't be bitter, be a better person. This morning we're going to pray a prayer of rededication. The songwriter says, Lord, I give you my heart and I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Don't live for yourself. If these men and women that I shared the testimony live for themselves, do you know how many people would have lost out? Regardless of the height of that challenge, be rest assured God is with you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I know the thoughts that I have for you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil. And in the midst of that challenge, if you rise up and begin to give thanks to God and begin to praise His holy name, even if you don't feel like it, just go onto YouTube and look for some amazing worship songs and just let it play in the background. Open your hymn book and just begin to sing. Open the Word of God and begin to recite the Psalms. As you do that, a shift will take place and the name of the Lord will be glorified. Dear Father, we present ourselves to you this morning. Thank you for your promise, Lord. You said you'd never put upon us more than we're able to bear. But you'd always make a way of escape. This morning, Lord, we just bring you everything that we have. We bring the hurts, the pains, the things that make us bitter, Lord. The life's experiences, Father, the situations. And we just laid at the feet of the cross. Lord, we ask, come and renew us. Come and refresh us. Spirit of the living God, we can't do it in our own strength. We've tried many times and we've failed. But we come to you and we ask you for help. Say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We exchange our burdens for your burdens, Lord. We exchange our yokes for your yokes. And in this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I silence the voice of the accuser in Jesus' name. I decree and declare that every trial that you are faced with, you will come out on top in the name of Jesus. That the name of the Lord will be glorified. Father, now I ask that you will release an anointing that destroys yokes and lifts burdens. Let mourning be turned to dancing. Let sorrow be turned to joy. Let praise break forth in the lives of your people. Let every plan and purpose of Satan be destroyed, and let your name be glorified. As we go into this new week, we thank you for testimonies. We thank you for change in attitude, O God. And we thank you for divine assistance. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.